and the beautiful music of Stefan Kajari, which means that this must be Wednesday evening. And if this is Wednesday evening, then this must be the no-show. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to your no-show, the RBR Blog Talk Radio show on the RBE Network that addresses New Thought Metaphysics, which simply means a new way of thinking as we move beyond the physical and discuss the metaphysical aspects of spiritual intervention, which means overcoming, that incorporates the wisdom of yesterday with the technology of today and allows us to bridge the gap and circumnavigate the spiritual highways of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. My name is Robert J.V. McMillan, and it is my pleasure to serve as your host and to invite spirit-filled people to share with us how it is that they are showing up in the world, how they are making a difference in their neighborhood mosque, in the temples, in their churches, synagogues, and even the neighborhood 7-Elevens, and then taking that to their states, countries, and ultimately the world. We are so pleased that you decided to be right here with us this evening. We know that you had choices. If you would like to receive advance notice of guests on the No Show, send an email to me, Robert McMillan at robtmcm@aol.com, robtmcm@aol.com, requesting that your name be placed on our service list, and we will keep you informed about who is coming on and when, as well as special opportunities to participate on the program as a guest co-host and special prizes that we are offering for your sharing what your top shows are and why. So stay tuned for more information relative to that. Evening, I am welcoming for the first time to the no-show, Miss Cynthia Wilkerson. Cindy, as we affectionately call her, is not a stranger to me because we met a while back through a mutual friend, Katya Gale, in Hot Springs, Arkansas. But Cindy is a phenomenal student of truth, and she has devoted her entire life to being a student. And even though she may have not known it at the time, she was in the process of becoming who it is that she is now, as we all are. She has and is in the process of overcoming victimhood, codependency, and she has learned so much, including how to release ego-limiting blocks from her life with the Course in Miracles. You all will know that course and all of the information that's a part of that, as we have had numerous folks on with us to talk about the course and how it has supported their study, and Cindy's going to share that with us as well. She now focuses on sharing the perspectives gained through the practices of forgiveness and meditation to aid fellow travelers through their respective processes of undoing and unfolding. We are so pleased that Cindy has decided to become a part of the No Show family, and so she is here with us. We are excited because of the fact that she is here with us. We know that we are going to move forward in wonder-filled and wonderful ways, doing some just really fascinating stuff and some great things that will allow all of us to move forward in wonder-filled ways. So we invite you to support us in welcoming Cindy to the program. And I know that you will give her a rousing round of the no-show welcome. Cindy, are you with us?
I am. Thank you, Robert.
Oh, thank you, my dear. I appreciate your taking time from your very, very, very busy schedule. In your introduction, I didn't share with the people that you are also a CPA, and that you are, at this period of time, of course, helping a lot of your clients to wrap up some things from a very eventful 2014. And so in addition to doing that, though, it seems to me that this work that you're doing on the other side of the spectrum is your God work, if you will. Not that the other is not, because I know that you do that as well there. But here we have an opportunity to really allow Spirit to work through us and to tell people about that in that process. Ladies and gentlemen, I also want to make you aware that Cindy has a book that she will tell you about. And I have read through that book. I'm going to read some pieces from it tonight. It is not published yet, so while you guys cannot get a copy of it, you will shortly. And so Cindy's going to share that with you. Cindy, tell the folks how it is that you came to do what you're doing and what it is, first of all, that your title is and how it is that that book came about, please.
Well, I was always a truth seeker, not always a truth finder. But as we sift through, we do eventually become truth finders. And in the process of doing that, I always knew I was supposed to write a book. I didn't know what kind of book. I didn't know what it was supposed to be. I just continued on my path of truth pathway. And I woke up one morning, and in 5 minutes, I knew the title of the book. I knew the organization, the information. I mean, it was me, and it was from my journey, but it just came together in my mind in an organized way, and then I was able basically to download it from what had been given me from my mind onto paper. And did that in about 6 weeks' time, maybe, something like that. And people have issues with the title sometimes. It sounds like bleep happens, but it's not bleep happens. The title is shh, like you're shushing a child to ask them to calm them and to allow them to release whatever is causing them discomfort. Shh. It happens. The thought process behind the title is basically if we let go and get to see what happens and allow God to work in our lives, it works a lot better than if we're trying to be God for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And learning the difference is a journey in itself. So it's talking about let go and let God.
Excellent. Absolutely.
Sort of taking something that would be, taking the bleep happens and transforming it to allow it to be more.
I got it. I want to read from the book, if I may,
sure.
just from the intro part, Cindy, to give folks an opportunity to kind of hear some of what you're talking about. And it says, are you closed? People who have experienced abuse, neglect, or trauma, who hasn't, start to shut down in one way or another. The shutdown process is in response to the abuse, neglect, or trauma. The reasoning is that, whether conscious or not, if I shut off my access to this area of myself that hurts, then it will not hurt anymore. Let's talk about being hard-headed. So we shut down and don't let anything in. No new ideas, no possibilities other than what is already rolling around in our heads. Not only do we not let anything in, we also can't let anything out. The stuff that is already in our heads is incomplete. It doesn't make sense. And it can't be resolved because we cannot add new information in order to help us understand it and resolve it and release it. We do not have enough information to know what to trust. So we trust nothing. It is called being stuck. Do you think there might be something going on here that you don't understand? Use this phrase frequently, like when you find that you are angry, upset, or perplexed about something. This thought alone can begin to open your heart and mind to the answers that are already there, waiting for you to allow them into your consciousness. Shh. It happens. Cindy, please tell us what that was about.
Well, when we've experienced, I would like to say, abuse or trauma, we shut down.
Mm-hmm.
We begin to try to shut out in a controlling way the hurt because it feels like it's coming from the outside inside. And if we can block it, if we can stop it, then that's our way for the hurt to not continue. But when we do that, we're shutting ourselves off from everything, not just the hurt. And we're shutting our ability to release what doesn't work for us any longer.
Mm.
And we cling to what doesn't serve us any longer. And it's learning how to do the process work, to do the release work, to understand that everything happens for a reason. And the pain that shows up is communication to us, and that's all that it is. We blow it up into something else. It's just communication. And if we can learn how to translate that to understand it's just us getting our attention to show us something and learn from that, then we're able to open ourselves. It's opening our hearts and our minds to the more that's there. But we shut ourselves down. And it's just talking about the first thing on the path is to begin to open your heart and mind to just a little crack. Of Course in Miracles says just a little willingness
mm-hmm.
is all that Spirit needs to be able to reach within us and know exactly what the next step is that we need in our progression spiritually to take us to the next place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a beautiful thing to see it unfold when you see that in yourself and you see that Spirit working within you to unfold
mm-hmm.
what we've closed is just a beautiful thing and what this is all about. But there are certain things we need to do first to be able to open the door so that that wonderful Spirit and guidance can get to us.
Absolutely. And you go into what those things are in your book beautifully, wonderfully well. One of the things I want for you all to know as well, ladies and gentlemen, is that this book is a phenomenal treatise. In my opinion, in my humble opinion, having been involved in New Thought for all of the years that I have, for a person who is wanting a way out, crossed between traditional theology and ritualism, and trying to figure out what the other way is, knowing that there is something more to where it is that I am. Haven't you been there? I mean, haven't you said, you know, I know that I'm catching hell right now, but I also know for some reason that there's a wonder-filled way out of this experience, and I am excited about finding it. So this phenomenal experience that Cindy has put together and that she put together in such a short period of time, which also to me says that it's always Spirit, because when Spirit gives it, it's done. It's complete. You don't have to kick the tires, take the battery out and charge it. It's done. It's a done deal. So we are excited about that. We're also going to talk tonight about prison ministry. Because Cindy has had some phenomenal results with taking her program into the prison system. And Reverend Iris Sauber is also on the line with us out of my second home area there in Maryland and the D.C. area in the Northeast, and she too has done a number of things with prison challenges and what have you. And folks, let me tell you something: we can never, ever, ever build enough prisons to handle people. We have to change the philosophy and the psychology and the consciousness of people before they get to that stage, and then we won't have that problem, you see, because the prisons are set up right now in order to be a moneymaker for states. And so therefore, each time, and this is happening here in a very interesting way in Little Rock and Hot Springs and Pine Bluff, Arkansas, because the system overcrowding is the situation, but everybody, every other jurisdiction is charging money for the people that are brought in. Okay, so we've got a lot to talk about today, and we've got a lot of people who are on the line. I think if you will stand by for just a moment, Cindy. I think that even Katya may be with us this evening. Let me just see if Katya Gale is available. Katya, are you there? I guess she's not. Well, I tell you what, I will come back in a moment and see if I can't find her, because I thought that I did hear her online, but we will wait a moment. Iris Sauber, are you online with us? Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
Doing wonderfully well, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. You've heard the conversation up to this point, Reverend Iris. What are your comments relative to the information that we've shared thus far?
Well, I find it to be so completely true. I personally am reminded of some work that I'm actually doing now for myself and with my spiritual community. When you started to speak about the fact that we cannot build enough prisons, that we have to change consciousness, and what it reminded me of is this work that we've been doing that was created by a Dr. Hugh Len out of Hawaii, and the work is called Ho'oponono, and it's forgiveness work. And Dr. Hugh Len believed that in order to change any situation, we have to change who we are. And one of the things he did was he had been called to work in a Institute for the Criminally Insane in Hawaii, where morale was terrible, violence was rampant, people didn't want to work there. They would walk down the hall, the doctors and nurses, with their backs against the wall for fear of being attacked. It was just a really difficult place to work. And he was called in to review the place. And never seeing any of the patients, what he did, Robert and Carla, if you're not familiar, was he reviewed their charts. And every day he did forgiveness work
right
around their charts. And in a matter of months, things started to change in the hospital. Morale came up. People weren't leaving work anymore and calling out sick. Patients started to get well. As a matter of fact, it was so successful they closed the hospital down because everybody was released.
Sure.
You know, when I hear you speaking of changing our consciousness, that's absolutely true. And when I hear about your other guests talking about the fact that we respond to the hurt in our lives, the trauma, the stress, the abuse, whatever, fill in the blank. It doesn't matter what it is. We can all name something. You're right. We do close down to try to protect ourselves. So I think her book sounds fascinating.
Okay. I'm going to have to jump in here for a moment because we've really got limited time and we've got 10,000 people on with us, and I want for everybody to be able to get in here and hear this conversation.
Thank you, Iris.
You're quite welcome.
Right, Iris. And we've talked about that in some of the meetings that we've had, Ho'oponopono, in Hot Springs as well. Come back to us, and Cindy, and share with us about your specific work as it relates to the prison system, and coordinate that with the book and how it is that the information is helping people to move forward.
Well, I basically have a study group that I go in and have a study group in this facility, and it's completely voluntary. People come in there if they want to and don't come in there if they don't want to. And we start off with a sun up and sun down, where everybody goes around and tells about the good thing for that day that they see, and if they have something that they want to say wasn't good, they share that. And that gives everybody insight into everyone. And that's how we start the class. And then we study the course. We'll read a section from the course, either a lesson or something from the text, and we'll discuss it. And what I find is, 'cause the cornerstone of what I take in there and what the course teaches is the forgiveness work.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I was really confused as I was growing up. I would hear the people in church say forgiveness, but I didn't understand what it was or how to do it. And I found that we have misunderstandings about forgiveness, where we think we're supposed to decide that what the other person did is okay now. And I've found that that doesn't need to be. I've found it's much more simple than that. It's simply, for me, taking whatever hurt or pain that I felt in, you know, relationship to whatever had occurred, I simply let that hurt and pain go. First, I allow myself to feel it completely in whatever way that I need to. And then I let myself let it go. Usually with a deep breath, I release it to the universe to be cleansed. I bless it for its service and let it understand that it doesn't serve me anymore, and I let it go. And what I find is that it creates a void that spirit will rush in to fill.
Yep.
And healing occurs to where the obsessions and compulsions and addictions that I may have had, I don't have to let go of them. They begin to let go of me.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And that's the basic message that I take in there, and I share that with them, but in a really open way, and try to create an environment where they feel comfortable to share. And they do that. They're very honest. And, you know, we talk about their opportunities for forgiveness. And I had a young man not too long ago. He knows a lot spiritually. He knows it. He doesn't always practice it. But he knows that he knows stuff that the people around him don't know or are not aware of. And so he sees that he's smart and they're not. And he came to me and said, "Well, I just don't know what to do being around all these stupid people." And I said, "Well, honey, you have to forgive the stupid people. They're there for you to forgive them. That's the only value that they have in your life. They're showing up for that reason and that reason only. Forgive the stupid people and see how your life is transformed."
Excellent. I love it. I'm going to ask you to stand by for just a moment, if you will, Cindy. I have 586-940. You have a question, and I'd like for you to come in and join the conversation. Can you hear us? Hello?
Who are you calling? Are you talking to me, Robert?
It's 586-940. Is that you?
This is Karen? Reverend Charlotte.
Hey, Reverend Charlotte, 586.
Hi. How are you?
I'm wonderful. So, thank you. I appreciate that. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Reverend Dr. Charlotte Manning, my very, very good friend out of the Northeast. Iris, if you don't know Charlotte, you need to, and I'll let you guys hook up afterwards. That's part of what it is that I do. I bring great people together. But Charlotte was with Marianne Williamson in Detroit when she was doing what she was doing with the Course in Miracles, Cindy. And so, in so much as that is your forte, I wanted to bring and ask Reverend Charlotte to come in for a couple of reasons. One of which is the fact that we helped push Charlotte's book to number one, a bestseller, and we're wanting to do that same thing with you as well, because this information that you have, I'm telling you, I stayed up all night long reading this little book. And I did that because I knew that the information that you were sharing would be so helpful to so many people. Reverend Charlotte, what have you gotten from the conversation so far, please?
I think that it's amazing. One of the reasons I wanted to be on here is that, Cindy, you are actually doing something that I would love the opportunity to do, and that's to get into correctional facilities to work with men and women to give them a fuller, deeper, wider understanding of what the course is,
yeah,
and how it can impact and affect your life. You know, you have a lot of theologians that say, oh, you don't want to let that Course in Miracles, this channel material and all this other stuff. But you know what? There's one philosophy that comes from the Course in Miracles that transcends all religious doctrines and everything is the cornerstone of the Course, and that is only love is real.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is an illusion. So the thoughts and things that you're talking about around forgiveness, it's taking the illusion or the conversation that you're having in your head and ask yourself, am I coming from a place of love? And if you're not, then you got to be coming from a place of fear. So we find also not only in correctional facilities are you incarcerating the body, you also incarcerating the mind. So I think that I celebrate what you're doing in your work and being able to get in there, because it's such a vicious cycle working in an environment like that where, you know, 99.9% of the time you are moving in the energy of fear. And if you've ever been in a prison, you know that there you don't feel too much love in there or not for
That's
too
right.
long. So,
That's
you know,
right.
I think,
Absolutely.
And I celebrate your work, and as Robert said, he's been very interesting. I met Robert.
Oh,
that's
good.
How we met.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
I've been teaching a course for well over 15 years now, and we ain't finished the book. That's what I tell folks. Every time something
right.
comes
that's
up,
right.
we go back to the lesson. So I just want to congratulate you and thank Robert for inviting me to come on and support you, encourage you in any way that I can do and assist you in that work. I am just a phone call away.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Absolutely.
Have good conversations.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I will make certain that all three of you all, as well as many, many others, get
mm-hmm.
each other's information so that we can continue to link with each other and then provide people with the tools that they need in order to move forward and to let go of some of the pain, you know. Now, if they decide
mm-hmm.
to pick it up again a little bit later on, that's up to them. That's not our
Well, you
bad.
Know what they say. They say when you know better, you do better. So
yeah.
if you give them that
yeah.
and say, now, at least now
that's
you
right.
know better.
That's right. So thank
you
so
much.
Thank you,
sweetheart. Thank you so much for having me on.
You betcha, but don't go away with us. We're going to tap into you a little bit later. I want to come back to you, Cindy, but before I do that, time has already passed so quickly. We're at the half hour of our discussion, and I want to share with you all, ladies and gentlemen, this is the RBR Network, and we are so pleased that you decided to stop by here and visit with us. We have a phenomenal opportunity for you, tremendous programs, not just this program, which I happen to be a little bit biased towards. I know nobody would understand that, but just a little biased towards, but we have others as well. And I want to tell you about a few of them. The Progressive News Weekly on Thursdays at 5:30 p.m. on the same station and on the same phone number that you called in, dialed in, went up online to get on, which is hosted by Daryl Clark from New York. This is the longest-running show formerly on another network. Daryl's guests have included well-known personalities, such as my good friend Dick Gregory in Washington, D.C., and they focus on hot issues and current events. The moderator and co-host is Cecil McDaniel, who is the director of services for the RBR Network. The Searchers Roadmap at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time on Fridays is hosted by my own moderator, who is a little health challenged right now. So we're all going to send Rhonda Harrison light and love. But she's from Red Feathers Lakes, Colorado, way up in the mountains. She sees snows before other people do. That little bit of stuff that you all are having, Iris, down in Baltimore and those other places, you know, those 5, 7, 9 inches, it's nothing. It's a baby. The Searchers Roadmap was the first RBR show and thus is the longest running show. And we have a number of other shows like that at on this particular station, again, at 8:30 p.m., this evening, 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. All of our shows are Central Standard Time. Another phenomenal show is coming on for your opportunity, and that is hosted by James Renford Powell, The Laws of Material Wealth. And so we invite you to please stay and join, call back in, 30 minutes, run off, get a cup of coffee, come on back, and enjoy that opportunity as well. This evening, who is it that we're talking to this evening? Well, we're talking to this phenomenal lady. Her name is Cynthia Wilkerson, Cindy Wilkerson. I have come to call her, and she's a truth student. And she came by that title through the Hart School of Hard Knocks, like many of us did. And the phenomenal thing, as Reverend Charlotte was saying a moment ago, and as Reverend Iris was saying and Cindy was saying, is that when you come that way, nobody can tell you that you don't believe what you believe because you know it. So Cindy says, I was presented with the opportunity to facilitate a study group in a correctional institution where participation is voluntary. In other words, these folks did not have to be there. Doesn't it seem like many of the folks that come to us for counseling and for other things, they come there dragging and kicking, don't they? You know? But then, of course, they get there, then they understand why it is that they are there. So, Cindy, I want to come back to you and let you finish telling us. Go over the name of your book again, because I love the way you explained it, and the way that you explained it allowed me to have a better understanding as well. And then tell us about your favorite parts of the book and how it is that you use that in your work.
Well, the name of the book is Shh, It Happens. It's a way of saying be still and know and allow the knowing to come to you. My favorite part of the book, I don't know, there's lots I like. I like the chapter on control, where I share that when I was little, I always loved Christmas and couldn't wait to decorate the Christmas tree. And my mother gave me that task to do when I was little, actually too short to reach the top of the tree. And so we always had the icicles, they called them. It was little strips of silver material that we would drape over you're supposed to drape over the branches of the tree to look really pretty. But I was too short, and I couldn't reach the top, and so I would throw them at the top of the tree. And what I found was I loved to see how they arranged themselves, that I would throw them at the top of the tree and watch them as they fell down and as they arranged themselves willy-nilly as they wanted to on the tree. And I absolutely fell in love with it. It was random. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't contrived. It wasn't made to be a certain way. It was just allowing them however they wanted to fall. And that's helped me a great deal as I've gone through this spiritual process of healing, to find the place where I understand that everything happens for a reason, and that reason is always for our beneficence. That there's no beginning to God's love and no end and no cracks in it. That the Course shares with us that it's not about changing the world, it's about changing our minds about the world. And doing the work to understand that everything happens for a reason and it's always for our beneficence changes my mind about the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Are there specific parts of the book that you have shared that then elicited comments from people that were even surprising to you and that you then inculcated into your work and said, wow, I'm going to use this because if it was this helpful to this person, then I know that it will be helpful to somebody else over here. Is there anything like that as well, Cindy?
Well, yes. When I was putting the book down on paper, I really didn't know how it might be used or how I might use it or how anyone would use it. I was just simply putting it down because it was given to me to do that. And then as people began to read it, I began to understand that it maybe had a wider application than I had considered. I didn't consider that, Bible study groups might want to look at it. Other people seem to think that that would be something that might happen, so that kind of application. And I recently met a dear family member's mother, and she works in with battered women, and it came to me that this book might be valuable to her to use in that way with the work that she's doing. And so I'm not putting any limits on how it might may be used. It's welcome to be used however it would like to be. So
that's right. I want to again quote the book if I may, because I think that all of us, Iris, you and I have certainly talked about this ad infinitum and perhaps even ad nauseum. But the chapter here that says Forgiveness 101, and here's what it says. Let's begin a discussion of forgiveness by sharing what it is not. Forgiveness is not about deciding what someone did is now okay. You do not need to change your opinion about the people or circumstances involved in a hurtful situation. It is simple, really. All you need to do is release the hurt and pain that you felt as a result of the situation. You see, you have been carrying that pain around for a long, long time. The events happened then, not now, but you are still feeling the pain as if these events were still happening now. They hurt you then. You are hurting yourself every day since then. Wow, that is awesome. Speak to that, and then I want to go out into the field and ask some of the folks that are with us to share some things that they feel in hearing those words. Cindy, go ahead.
Well, the society that I grew up in, no one knew how to let go of anything like that. No one in my understanding of what I saw around me knew how to let go of hurt and pain. And so we just hang on to it. And somehow we think it's comforting. And we get really crazy with it. And, the events occurred once. What we are doing is continuing that every day, and no one else is doing that. We're doing that. But that's good news, because if we're doing it, we can stop that.
That's right.
And
that's
we can
right.
learn how to process that hurt and pain and let it go so that it's not with us anymore. And it heals us in miraculous
right.
ways that we would never consider when we do that.
Let me bring
that's
Iris in.
Sorry.
Go ahead, dear. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well,
no,
that's
please.
What I say the forgiveness work is. It's just letting go of the hurting pain. When you do that, you find that wonderful things occur after it. And that's
Thank
why
you.
I'm saying, shh, it happens. If you let
right.
it.
I got it. And until you said it in that way, I didn't have it. But now I do, and I understand. Iris, are you still on with us?
I am, yes.
How have you used the tool, the necessary tool of forgiveness in your work, and how have you shared that, especially with the people in the prison system who certainly feel already that they are being reprimanded, and of course, in many instances, they are from guilt. But then, how do you help them to not feel so guilty and to let go of that, so that they can then move forward?
Well, I'll be honest with you, Robert. I think that the two most important things anyone can do is forgiveness work and gratitude work. To me, nothing is more important than forgiveness work. Number one, I see literally dozens and dozens of people who come to me because I have a consciousness for health, and I do a lot of prayer work and counseling around health issues. And absolutely every single one of those people has forgiveness work to do. So what that tells me is that not doing our forgiveness work is one of the reasons we get sick. Number two, I worked with Fred Luskin, one of the preeminent experts on forgiveness in the world. And what Cindy had to share was exactly right when she said forgiveness is not about saying what the other person did is okay. It's not that at all. But what I find most important for every single one of us, and for the men that I worked with in the Jessup House of Corrections in Maryland, is that we're very much better at forgiving other people than we are at forgiving ourselves. And so forgiveness work is not just about forgiving the wrongs that have been done to us. Forgiveness work is also about forgiving ourselves for the things that we think we should have done differently.
That is a wonderful entree. You could not have set that up for me any better if we had talked all day and I had given you a list of what I didn't know that I was going to say. Because here in her book, what Cindy says after she said what I read earlier in terms of forgiveness 101, she says, here is how you release the hurt and pain. First of all, you need to allow yourself to feel the pain fully and completely. Feel it all the way. Cry your eyes out. Scream it out if you need. But have the courage to go ahead and feel the hurt completely. Then you can release it. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath and let it go with your exhaled breath. Repeat this process as often as you feel it necessary to do so, and then let it go. Give it to the universe to be cleansed. The pain may have served you at one point, but it does not serve you well now. It is, in fact, holding you back. Thank it. Thank it for its service and let it go. You do not need it anymore. Give it to the ethers to be cleansed. You are free of it now. It cannot hurt you anymore. Cindy, how and what has the response been to that portion, and what are the stories that you can share with us from actualized events with people who have used it?
Well, in the work I do with the young men in the prison, you know, when I come to them and I tell them, well, you know, that's a situation that you need to let go. You need to release those harsh thoughts that you have about it. You need to forgive and let that go. I see them change as the weeks go by. And, you know, the young man who saw himself as smarter than the other people around him, I've seen him, ever since I told him to forgive the stupid people, mm-hmm. I've seen him begin to change. And when I saw him last week, he didn't come out and say, oh, guess what? I've been doing all this wonderful forgiveness work. And he just very quietly said, I said something about the forgiveness work, and he said, I've been doing that this week. It wasn't a big thing. It was a small thing. And you begin to see, because when we heal our brother, when we forgive our brother, we're healing something within ourselves. They're showing up to trigger whatever it is within us that we need to let go of within ourselves. It looks like mm-hmm. it's outside of us. It looks like it's our brother. It's actually us. And when we forgive that other person, we're healing ourselves in the process. And so, yes, we do have things that we need to forgive ourselves for, too, that release us even more. But it is personal when we forgive our brothers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Important. Very, very, very important. Cindy, I want for you to share with people, if you will, how they can get a hold of you, how they can follow up with you. I know that Charlotte and a couple of our other friends have some information that would be very useful to you as well. And so I'll make certain that goes out to where it needs to go to. But share with people how they can reach you by website, by email, however it is that you would like for folks to reach you.
Well, the email address that I'm using now is calculatingwomen@sbcglobal.net. It's a joke from the CPA part of my life, sort of like designing women, well, calculating women, you know, and I say that to people and women will go, oh, that's so cool, and men will go, wait a minute, what does that mean? So it's funny to see how people react to it, but it's a joke, you know. So, but that's my email address.
Okay, excellent, excellent. And what is it? I know that right now what's coming up for you is helping all of these people to get straight on their taxes and so forth and so on. But what is next for you in terms of your ministry and how it is that you are going to assist God in showing up in the world?
Well, I was actually this week, I picked up my journal and I flipped back to read through it, and I saw an entry in October last year that said, okay, I'm making this commitment. There's actually a Course in Miracles course of study that you can go through and have a diploma of some sort, and you would be considered a therapy person and minister. And I made the decision that I wanted to do that. And one of the things that I listed there was that I wanted to see A Course in Miracles church. And I hadn't read this journal entry since I wrote it over a year ago. Well, there's a church that has occurred in Hot Springs since that time. And so I'm working with those people that are there and love them. They're so wonderful and so pleased to have the opportunity to work with them. And do want to pursue that course of study. So that's what I'm looking forward to here. Of course, I'll continue with the work in the correctional institution and continue with study groups. And I read the course every day. I mean, there's not a day that goes by that I don't read something in the course, and it helps to keep me centered and guided and feeds my soul. So,
absolutely. Let me bring Reverend Charlotte back in here. Charlotte, anything that came to your mind as you were listening to the sharing from Iris and Cindy?
Well, absolutely. I think that forgiveness, you know, my book is called Forgiveness for the Stubborn and Hard-Headed. So it definitely does work around not holding on to, you know, past grudges that only weigh you down. And I totally agree with Iris that, you know, forgiveness work is a self-forgiving work. You can't forgive anybody until first you forgive yourself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, regardless of what your circumstance or situation is, you know, you have to find that there is a profound lesson in everything. The door, I mean, when you say knock and the door will be open to you, yes, that's true, and that is a blessing. But, yes, there is also a blessing when the door is closed to you. So we have to learn how to use those things. You know, it's so funny. I was talking to someone the other day, and I said, why do you think so many people say, in the name of Jesus? You know, we don't talk about Jesus in the masculine body form, but we're talking about the consciousness. That level of consciousness, every time you say in the name of Jesus, you are raising your vibration to the level of the divine. No matter what language the name of Jesus is spoken in, it immediately brings your vibration to the level of the divine. You cannot love at that level without finding forgiveness, without having forgiveness. Being an African-American woman, 64 years old, who grew up when there were colored and white bathrooms right in Alexandria, Virginia, I had a whole lot of forgiveness work to do. So, you know, how do we release those patterns and those stories that we have created in our own minds? And that's by recognizing that, you know, our father and our mother did the best they knew how to do at the time or what they had to do it with. And by the grace of God, we are still here. So that's enough right there to find forgiveness in. I have story after story after story that I tell in the book about that.
Right.
So my whole thing is around first thing I get up in the morning and I say, God, I love you. And what would you have me do? I get up in the morning with that. So there's not enough teachers, preachers, and theologians out there that can really do too much of this work. There's a lot of forgiveness needed, not just in this country, but globally, and the day-to-day actions prove that.
Sure. And in the context of full disclosure, before my imam friends and my Jewish friends and all of the other various philosophies that are out there, call me on the carpet. Whatever the prophet is that you choose, the prophet of your choice to go to, then let it be known that whenever it is that you call upon that energy, believing as you believe, then it shall be done unto you as well. So I want to come back now, Cindy. In the next 4 or 5 minutes, I want to give you the floor to talk a little bit about something that's very, very important to me. And everybody that knows me knows how I feel about meditation and the importance of meditation. As a matter of fact, the first Wednesday in December, ladies and gentlemen, come back and be with us because I'm having an entire show on meditation, and I'm going to do several meditations for that program, and I invite you to come back because meditation is the key. Meditation is the equalizer that allows all of us to come at this thing called spirituality from the same level. We are all great students when it comes to it from that perspective, and we are also master's level graduates with doctorate degrees as well. So understand that it's the great equalizer. But Cindy, I want for you to, because you do, you offer a very nice piece in your book about meditation. And ladies and gentlemen, I really want for you guys, Cindy, you have to hurry up and go ahead and get this book out, because I mean, I'm already talking about it and telling people they've got to get it, and they can't get it yet. So you have to get it out, and we're going to help you do that.
Thank you.
Talk to us for a moment about the importance as you see it, as it was for you, number one, and then as it has been for the people that have stopped by, coincidentally, they thought, to then learn what they needed to learn.
Regarding meditation.
Correct.
Well, I do it all wrong, and I know that you can't do it wrong. So, again, tap into your own inner guidance with meditation. I liked what Charlotte said about when she first wakes up in the morning. When I first started doing my practice, I would make sure I was sitting in a chair upright and did all the things that they tell you to do, mantras if needed. I don't do that very much anymore. When I wake up in the morning, the first thought I have is choose love every time, no matter what. Choose love every time. Every time choose love, no matter what. Choose love. And then I immediately choose to go into meditation, which is I do still use mantras a little bit when I feel like I need to, but mostly it's just learning how to allow. Just to allow your thoughts to release and let it be whatever it needs to be. It's learning to let go and let God is how I see meditation. Mm-hmm. I sometimes go through periods where I have very deep meditations where it feels very fulfilling. Other times when I don't experience that deepness in meditation, and I allow all of it and just understand it. And most of the time when I don't have the deeper meditation, there's something that I'm grappling with that I haven't resolved. And I let that be communication to me to look and tell myself, shh, you're okay, it's okay. Everything's okay.
Absolutely.
Everything happens for a reason. And I actually parent myself in that way.
Yes.
And so, you know, meditation centers me. It keeps me balanced.
Keeps you focused.
Yeah.
Keeps you focused.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it's a portal. It creates a portal for spirit to get to us when we stop the monkey
believe
chatter.
Believe it or not, Cindy, 60 minutes has passed since we said
wow.
Hey. And so it is, as Spirit would say in many other spaces, it is almost over. Thank you all so much for being with us. This is just part one of part two. Cindy, you got to come back. So we'll put it down. We'll make certain that it happens. This program could not have been what it was had it not been for all of you. Those who said some things and those who said absolutely nothing. You just lent your spiritual energy, your love, and your light. This is The No Show. Next week, Matt Barber will be here in Cindy's place. Not that she can be replaced, but additional information will be shared. He's a hypnotherapist, and you come back to hear what Matt has to say about being hypnotized spiritually. It'll be a great thing. Cindy, I love you so much. Folks, I love you all so much. From the Northeast to the Southeast to California and back, I love you. I love you. Go forth. Make this the best day of the rest of your life. And so it is. Take care, everybody. We'll see you. God bless. Thank you all. Thank you, Cindy.
Thank you.
God bless.